global press conference for war crimes. You shouldn't see our talent. With a big round of applause. We're very lucky to have with us today Patrick Stillman, Paula Patton, Heidi Cabell, Ben Schuster, and Rob Kaczynski. And some of our name, last but not least, of course, Duncan Jones. My congratulations. Watching this movie on the big screen, this rich and extraordinary, powerful film is so really quite an experience. What a cinematic experience. And thank you. So much fun and so entertaining. Thank you so much, all of you.
Thank you.
And speaking of the film, speaking of Warcraft, I'd like to start off just with a question, really for all of you. What was it about this movie that made you want to be a part of it, starting, of course, here with the director and the writer? What was it? Why did you want to write and direct Warcraft?
I think one of the things is that science fiction in particular has had a number of different subgenres over the years. You know, whether you have a gritty film like Blade Runner or 2001 or AI or Adjustment Bureau, there's a big spectrum of what science fiction can be. And in fantasy, the kind of gorilla in the room is the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the original one by Peter Jackson. And it kind of feels like the spectrum of what is fantasy is much smaller than it is science fiction. So I love the opportunity to maybe try and do a film which would hopefully reach the same bar as Lord of the Rings, but give fantasy a little bit of a new voice and a new feel. And that's what we tried to do with the Warcraft.
And you achieved it. What was it about Warcraft, Paula, that made you want to be a part of it?
I should start with the beginning, which was the script and the character. And I thought it was so compelling, and Duncan wanted to meet with me. And so we met, and it was this great... It was a creative meeting. It was an artistic meeting. You showed me the world, and we talked about it, and it was my first introduction into Warcraft. And I had known about Duncan's work, Moon, Source Code. I thought he was an incredible director. And the way he explained this world to me, and the passion he had, and the way he described Garona, I was so moved. And it was a great thing to be a part of. And so in the room, before you get lawyers involved, we sort of just were like, do you want to do this? And I was like, I want to do this. And then I got in my car and I went, shit. And I was like, I'm so scared. How am I going to do it? How will I do it justice? And how will I become half orc, half human? And so then I realized that I think it's the things that you're most scared of doing that you should do, you know? And so it was all those things that compelled me to be a part of it. And then I have to just say, I didn't really know what I was in until I watched the movie. So that's the real truth. It's like you're on these amazing sets, and then you start to realize what your director's really done. He's there with you. And then I had this whole new respect for Duncan. I was in awe of him. I sat in this theater, and I've seen it twice now, and I went, oh my gosh, it's remarkable. No, really? I mean, there's so many decisions a director has to make, and he created this incredible world. And anyways, I watched it like an audience member, and I was just so thrilled to be a part of it. So it became like a dream come true as a kid, you know? It's really a fantasy, and it's made me a part of it.
Thank you.
Ben? I've been a big fan of Duncan since seeing Moon, and my first real introduction to the world of Warcraft was through the script. And the story and the narrative that Duncan and Charles set forth was very faithful to the mythology in the game, but it was also it crafted a very human narrative, and it was a real character-driven story. About 10 pages into the script, I forgot that I was reading an adaptation of a game, and whether your source material is a game or a novel, whatever it is, a good story is a good story. And Duncan was very diligent about giving equal weight to both sides of the story. And I was captivated and compelled by it, and the opportunity to do something iconic was extraordinarily exciting. And I'm just super stoked to have been a part of it, and very humbled and grateful to be up here with this lot.
Cool.
I mean, I'd have been a fluffer in the trailers, to be honest. I'd have swept the floor.
I didn't know that was on a team.
It wasn't in your country. It was in Travis's. I had to go to this and Duncan's room regularly. It was, you know, I would have killed many puppies to be a part of this film, and I'd have done any part in it. And I think I offered to pay Legendary, literally pay them to have a role in it. So I was more than happy when, you know, I was asked to be Orgrim Doomchisel, as Duncan called him. And so for me, this is kind of like, this game's been my life for, you know, 12 years. So it feels like very much a full circle for me to actually get to be in this. And there's nothing, nor rain, nor sleet, nor snow, nor armoured ogre that could stand in my way from trying to be in this.
Toby?
First of all, these chairs are terrible.
Terrible!
The Alliance lose.
Just like that. Good chairs, guys, well done.
I'm a fan of motion capture. I was a fan of Duncan's, of course. The script was so, so well done. And actually, testament to Duncan that you kept that script and it just stayed all the way through, because that's often the downfall of many a great story. But it was motion capture for me. I'd just come off Planet of the Apes. I was so desperate to keep up with that craft and learn as much as I could. And I was lucky enough to get to read it, number one, to get to audition with Duncan, which I did over Skype while he was already up there prepping. And, I mean, it's a huge honour, which gets saturated here when actors talk, which I'm aware of. But it is a huge honour, and it's great to be a part of it.
I needed a job for a start. Duncan, of course, does such great work. The script, it's not just a fantastical action movie, but there's great stories within. And I wanted to get the job, put myself on tape. Lucky enough to get it. Felt like I fooled him again. So I'm glad that people are enjoying the film.
Yeah, the first question here.
Hi guys, Dominic Corey from the New Zealand Herald. You touched on this briefly just now.
Yeah.
A fantasy of this epic obviously is going to draw comparisons to Peter Jackson's work. How much did that loom over you when you were making it? How did you decide to go about differentiating this effort from those films?
Look, I love New Zealand just about as much as anyone, but you feel like the enemy right now.
Congratulations on the film, by the way. That was amazing.
Thank you. Look, The Lord of the Rings really kind of set the bar as to what a fantasy film should be. And like I said, I think fantasy has got a much smaller set of films, which are really the things that you aspire to make when you make a fantasy film. Peter Jackson, I mean, I've been out there, and just that whole, the workshops, the studio, everything there, it's just phenomenal what's down there. And obviously the landscapes in New Zealand just lend themselves to this fantasy, you know, storytelling. We wanted to find a way to do it differently and to give you guys a little bit of a rival. It would be nice if there was a bit of a rival out there for fantasy films. So we just wanted to create a spectacle and give it an energy that was a bit different, but hopefully achieve the same level of success.
Right here.
For the cast, in the game, it's really easy to level up by just killing more orcs, but in real life, it's harder. So, for all of the young fans of the movie and the game out there, what advice would you have to them entering the next worlds of their lives?
So you mean not killing orcs? You mean just life? Yeah,
don't think that you can go around killing people and you'll get stronger in real life.
But there are
ways. That will be orcs
in life.
You will be in jail doing it.
So stay out of jail.
I tell you, when you make a movie like this, it's all about collaboration and bringing people together with different skills. And when I was starting out doing really bad, cheap music videos and commercials a long time ago, you know, one of the reasons I was able to move on and make better things is I got to work with people who all had their independent skills and learn from them. So I would say, if you're young and you want to have whatever creative art that you're interested in, learn from other people who may not have the same skills from you, and especially in film, try and work together. Bring together people who have complementary skills. You know, I think if there's a group of you, you're going to have way more momentum than trying to fight against the world all on your own.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's a really good point.
That's a good
wow. I think that that's so true. But it's also about having no fear. Sometimes you feel as if you're in competition, but if you have no fear and you have faith in yourself, then you can achieve that, and you can achieve it with partnership, with a group, with a team. And then truly, I really believe it's mind over matter. You actually, just like in a fantasy film and imagination, you can will it to yourself. You have to have faith, utter faith, and believe, and not let any bit of negativity or doubt or what came before you or what people say is impossible. And decide your own reality and make it possible.
My question is for Paula. You really do kick some ass in this film, and it's great to see. I was just wondering for you, the process of getting into your costume, your hair, your makeup, your appliances, can you talk a little bit about that? Did that help you create this very fearsome character?
Absolutely. I mean, that process began way before we started shooting with Duncan. I mean, been a lot of tests, right,
to find it and make it right,
and that's the thing, is, you know, it's trial and error, and I had a moment, I'm not going to lie to you, I had signed on to do the film, and I went to the, hey, done the makeup, and there was no mirror, I went to the bathroom, this is the first test, I almost had a panic attack, I was like, wait, if I could do this, this is like, I think it's 6 hours later, and I didn't.
I'm so glad you stuck with it. I'm so glad you braved it out.
And it's one of those moments, I remember my friend being like, but this is amazing, the world believe, you know, da, da, and I'm like, okay, you're right, okay, fuck up.
And just remember, and whatever you do from now on, you can always go back and say, you know what, I did Warcraft and it turned out fine.
It's that's the thing, so, there were moments when the tests went to my head, no, I'm joking, but then it became something that, yes, there were a lot of hours in the day, but I loved it. I came to embrace it because I was afraid. I didn't know how I was going to fully become this half orc, half human. And part of it's what you do mentally to prepare. But then it became the collaborative group effort of costumes and makeup and hair, all with Duncan's vision. And then you put on the finishing touches and you put the tests in. And then the contact lenses, which really obscured my vision. And then that was that last bit. I didn't feel human, you know, and certainly not wearing much clothing while everyone else wore clothing also made me feel like I didn't fit in. But but that, so I came to embrace it. I don't know any other way, so I loved it in the end because that was how I found her.
But you put in so much training as well with, you know, for the fight choreography and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you for that, because it wouldn't have been possible to create this character and not do it as a CG character, do it as a live action character, unless someone like Paula, who had the acting talent and the will to go through all of the training and be able to make that, you know, that character real and exist.
Mm. Yeah, as an addendum, it was actually very encouraging for us, you know, because you get a 6 a.m. call time, you're like, oh, that's awful. And you go in, you go through your 20-minute makeup, and you're like, oh, okay. And then you look at the call sheet, and you see Paula's call time was 3:15. You're like, oh, I haven't got it bad. Great.
What makeup did you have?
I had to shave every day.
Every day.
To the skin. Yeah.
Not a trim. Shave.
Travis had it worse. He had to take his shoes off every day to perform.
It's not hard for him.
But you guys had it easy. The Green Ninja had it the worst.
Yeah.
You had a couple days where you were in prosthetics.
Oh yeah, Toby had a couple of days where it was like 6 hours of makeup as well. That's just to make him look like this.
I had no trousers on.
Is that where the most
was? Yeah. It was fun.
Mr. Duncan Jones, hi. I haven't played the game, but I thought this movie was spectacular. You know, in this day and age, the visual effects, you know, when I saw Jungle Book, oh man, that was amazing. And then Warcraft comes along and it tops it again. So did you feel pressure, visual effects-wise, to top the game? And also, was turning these guys into orcs the most challenging part, or is there another part that's most challenging, visual effects-wise?
Well, listen, thank you so much for saying that. I thought Jungle Book was fantastic as well. So, you know, that's high praise to say that we're at the same level as that. Which I think we are. this is a film of just a whole different level of anything I've done before. You know, when I made Moon, from writing it to finishing the film was 12 months, and that was it, everything done. This film was 3.5 years of my life. So it's really more like a marathon than any kind of traditional film. But I think, you know, just maintaining that you know, we're striving to make something which is, you know, amazing in all qualities, whether it's the wardrobe or the set design, working with this amazing cast of actors. All the time, you're trying to push everyone to do the best work they can. And I'm just, you know, I'm grateful that everyone sort of stuck with me and that we all were able to kind of believe in making the same thing. We all had the same ambition, was to make this work.
Thank you.
Hi, Kara. I sort of oddly, for the first time, found myself like movie crushing on Duratan.
Seriously,
so
what is
great.
This?
But I'm just wondering if this is probably for Toby and Duncan, if you can sort of talk about just how you decided to perform him, and then, you know, how, I don't know, I just can't believe that Dan Mayer did such a killer job, and, you know, that I'm feeling weird about it.
Jessica Wabbit. I think the difficult thing is that soft tissue was such a complex thing right at the beginning. I'd just come from Planet of the Apes, and I was aware the subtlety that you could perform under motion capture circumstances. And I think ILM at that point were very confident with their hard shell technology, but soft tissue was still like handcrafting a bed. It's a lot of man hours. So more than handcrafting a bed. I'm not trying to belittle work. I'm just saying it's like handcraft, you know, something that's machine done now. So it's a situation where I was very aware they were constantly asking all of us orcs to do a big one. And because we're so huge, of course, oh, it makes sense we do a big one. Of course, we were always capable of doing it. But what was nice is going back to ILM 11 months later, and I'm going, thank goodness you and Duncan sat and said, let's also do the subtle version every time. Because that technology was already advancing, was already on that path to being able to get across what we were trying to do. I wanted Duratan to be the true power, the Fells, the Greed, Gul'dan's the Force, you know, not the Star Wars Force, like Force of Nature. You know, he seems powerful, but he's all Force. So Duratan's actually power, he's actually, you know, presented with being a hero. And that was so nice to be supported by Duncan. And it was... It was psychologically and emotionally nice to play a nice character with a wife. I mean, I called Anna darling every day on set. You know, I didn't call her out, I called her darling. Hello, darling, how are you, honey? Not as a thespian, but just, you know, to feel, you know, to be in a loving relationship. It was a beautiful experience.
And that was, I think, a very unexpected, certainly for a fantasy movie, where normally the monsters are the bad guys, the humans are the good guys, to have the opportunity to show a little bit of family life, to show what it's like for the orcs, the fact that they have wives, they have children, they want to protect their families, they want to protect the people that they come from. You know, we got to do all of these, you know, quieter scenes that normally that would just be for the humans, but we got to do it on both sides. And I think, you know, Toby gave us something, you know, Toby and Anna as well, really gave us something, you know, very special, and a relationship that you as an audience, you might actually prefer their relationship to anyone else's. It really, you know, it's a very human one that you can believe in.
But also, I mean, us two, of course, very important, but, you know, without Rob, without the other orcs giving, you know, like, you don't walk in as the king. You need your co-stars to give you that feeling. Without everyone doing that, that's the collaboration that happened on this set. It really was very close-knit. We were very close. I had great support from great actors, so it's testament to everyone, you know.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. No, I really mean it, yeah.
Rob, Ben, how did that collaboration
to
both of you?
Well, it's funny, you know, like...
Tell the beginning on the airplane.
Yeah, the airplane. So I was really great. I was so excited to be a part of this film, and I knew every character, and I'm on the plane on the way up to Vancouver, and I see Toby Kebbell two seats ahead of me, and I go over and I tap him on the shoulder, and I'm like, hi, mate, I'm your Orgrim. And he looked at me like, what? What the fuck is an Orgrim?
All right, nice, mate.
And then when I sat back down, I went, what a knob. There's this enormous thing that has to happen on a film like this. You know, it is we're creating a seed that's going to grow into a tree that we won't see until the finished article. And it requires enormous leaps of imagination and the ability to put yourself out there to do things that would otherwise feel silly, but to feel comfortable enough to do them. And, you know, Duncan had an experience beyond two films in the fact that he created a set that was safe for us to play in, you know, and more than that, you know, like we've discussed this all day, like casting magic spells, you can only do that if you agree with each other to go fully for it and not hide behind your ego. I mean, it's the same when we were doing motion capture and you're shorn of adornments in costume and you're essentially out there and your costume is one entirely made of imagination and you have to rely on each other to trust each other. And it created, you know, a camaraderie that I haven't come across before on any movie.
And you have to be willing to laugh at Clancy Brown.
You have to laugh. You can't make a choice about laughing at Clancy Brown. But, you know, I do want to go back and say one thing is, you know, there is somebody that has unfortunately been absent from all the press that we've done, and that is Anna Galvin, who plays Draka. And for me, she's my favourite character in the movie. She adds so much heart and pathos to the orcs and makes you completely sympathetic towards her. Yeah. And, you know, I had a lot to do with her, and obviously Toby had a lot to do with her. And I know I wouldn't have been able to do my job without her.
She's Australian.
Yeah, she is Australian. So, like, the Australians had a lot to do with making this film great. Like, it's that collaboration that allowed us to be free and trust each other and to not treat this film like Willow, but to treat it like something worthier than that.
Willow's a great film.
Willow's a great film.
Willow's a great film.
Ben, Rob mentioned casting spells. How was that experience for you? And also, Ethan Brock, when he was talking about the collaboration.
Mm-hmm. It was a trip. I mean, I think what Rob touched on about these leaps of faith that we had to make when you're working on something that has so much left up to the work that gets done in post-production. But it was a leap I think we were all very willing to make because you know you're in such safe, great hands with Duncan, with the team at ILM, with Bill Westenhofer, with all the VFX guys. And yeah, when you're working with a team that's so game and so on board, it can feel weird sometimes to pretend to cast a magic spell when there's like 200 crew members just standing around like waiting for lunch and you're ready to go. But it's but it was an easy leap to make, and the more you just realize very quickly, the more you throw yourself into it, the better you're going to serve the story and the better you're going to serve your teammates. And Ben Foster was just a killer to work with. I mean, he literally killed people. But he's so specific and he's so committed to reality, and the integrity and the groundedness that he brought to a fantastical world was just, I feel lucky to have been able to kind of follow that lead.
I had phone calls when I was doing the final polishes on the script where Ben Foster would be calling me up and saying, we need to have meetings to discuss how to cast magic.
I remember talking to him, and he
was being serious. He was like, I need to know the words, I need to know the movements, I need to understand the movements of why I'm doing certain things when I'm casting a spell. So Ben wanted to get deep into the nitty gritty of how everything worked. What the staff was, what the history was, how you cast magic, what the words were, what the body movements were, what each thing meant. I mean,
but you can feel that. You can feel that watching. You could feel it on set working. I mean, and the dynamic between our two characters, he's kind of a mentor to my character, and so being able to be next to him on set and see with what ease and with what forensic kind of specificity he went about his work was a trip. Total, yeah.
Hi, I'm not familiar with the game, but from what I hear, there's no specific characters so far on the writing side and directing side. For the actors, did you feel some kind of freedom that this wasn't based on a specific character?
Well, there was a certain amount of you know, the game has 20 years of storytelling that's been told over its existence, and we went right back to the very beginning of those games and the first story of the orcs and the humans. You know, that first contact moment, the first meeting of these two cultures. Now, in the storytelling from the games, there are characters that we use in our film, but they were probably painted in quite broad brushstrokes as far as who those characters were, and it was my job, and absolutely the actors' jobs, to find a way to add the detail, put in the nuance, and add the humanity and the depth to these characters. But, you know, with the way the script was structured, I think the relationships made sense. You understood who was affected by who and what their relationships were, and we tried to put in as many sort of family ties and things that sort of really grounded it and gave it a reality as we could. but it's really testament to the amazing cast of actors that I was had the chance to work with, that it actually, these feel like real people.
And also the way the movie, there's not really good guys and bad guys, but you could think, oh, it's all against humans, but then there's factions in between. I thought it was very, very rich, and the characters are very complex.
It's a bit of a structural, you know, juggle. It was always going to be a challenge, and I like those kind of challenges. But I think what Lord of the Rings and Tolkien did so well and kind of established in those books and films was something which is now maybe feels a little bit dated, the idea that the humans and the good-looking characters are all the good guys and the monsters are all the bad guys. You know, that worked then, and it's now we have an opportunity to kind of try something different, and the idea that all the races have heroes and their perspectives are all completely reasonable if you look at things through their eyes.
And I do think some of the orcs are very good looking.
I was going to say,
yeah, very good. Yeah. Some people like a big fat bald guy. I like to represent that side of the tank.
Hi, I'm Mary from Norway. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the challenges of making this movie relatable for non-gamers while still keeping the parts of the game that the fans really love.
Feel bad if you don't want to keep on answering.
Hey, you're the boss.
This is why you get the big
one. We'll answer, but we'll get you in trouble.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
So, thanks, mate. You just give me some more cheers. So I'm a big fan of Pixar. I love the fact that when Pixar make a movie, they make a movie that works for kids, and then it also works for the parents, and it works on two completely different levels. What we were trying to do was make a film that worked for the fans, on one level, and where, you know, we would bring them into a world that felt like home to them, but then also on another level, it just felt like this brand new fantasy who know nothing, you know, for people who know nothing about Warcraft. Mm. And the ideal situation is where people who know the game and love the game and who go to the movie can bring people who know nothing about it and communicate to them through the movie, this is what I loved about Warcraft. This is the reason I spent night after night, you know, staying up and being tired when I went to work the next morning playing this game. It's because of this world that you're getting to experience through the movie.
And I think also, you know, the game is a phenomenon for a reason. It is, the mythology of the canon is so textured and layered and rich. And so I think to have the opportunity to tell these stories through more, I guess, of a mainstream medium in film, it was, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, it's all there for us. Yeah. And I think the film is a really good entry point into the mythology and the world of the game.
I mean, I was terrified because I needed this film to be good. After 20 years and $10 billion given to Blizzard, we deserve a good film. there's this whole kind of, this pressure that I felt upon myself that we would have to deliver, you know, something that would be acceptable to me if I were to watch it. And, you know, I felt that pressure upon myself, and then I would go to set and I would see 1,000 people-ish. Well, not every day, I wouldn't see 1,000 people, but there's about 1,000 people that worked on this movie that had given up jobs that paid better, that jobs that had better positioning, that jobs that they were, some people would go for months without work so they could have stayed free just so that they could take this job because they were fans. They were passionate about it, and every single one of those people, whether it was Duncan all the way down to people like, you'd be amazed how many people that worked in this film mysteriously actually played the game, all felt that pressure to deliver something that would be, you know, that would represent the hardcore gamer like myself. And then the best way that they did that was by telling simply a great story. You know, we've been making movies about Jesus for a long time. He died 2,000 years ago, and about ancient Egypt and Cleopatra. A good story is a good story, you know, and this is a great story. And by making a great movie about a great story, we were servicing the fans like myself.
And finally, it wasn't a film made like you covering what it's like to play this game. It was a film. It was a great script, great director, great actors making a film. A lot of those other game films have been made to, this is what it's like to play, remember he does this move, and it's like, that's not what it was like for me to play, you know, so that was the smart thing to
do. Yeah, Travis, would you like to add anything about how the experience was for you, being on this set?
I always wanted to meet Toby. No, it's a great cast, and it's just so good to be able to work with a director that knows what he's doing fully and is so prepared. And I'm just blown away from being on set and talking to these guys in pajamas and Paul's body, and then to see what the orcs look like at the end, what the sets look like, what the visual effects look like. It's like, it's just something I've never seen before, you know. It's a pretty cool world.
I just want to say, actually, I'm grateful to everyone that I got to work with in this film, but particularly Travis, who I know has come off the show Vikings and has a real pedigree for this kind of work. If you see the fight choreography and action scenes in Viking, they do some amazing stuff for TV, and I know TV's improving all the time. But the fact is, we got to do stuff with Travis that I don't think he's ever done before. Certainly on the fight choreography, we had a lot of fun. But also, mate, your sense of humor, I think, we got to tap into that a little bit more in a way that maybe you don't get to do on Vikings as much. And that was quite a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think films like this have to be fun, you know? And I'm trying to be fun.
Travis, I heard about a remote controlled raccoon.
Oh yeah, I was trying to be funny. Yeah, I couldn't get over that.
We had one big prankster on set, and every day I'd come in and I'd see Dominic Cooper like fuming in the corner, or like there'd always be someone's like, "He got me again," and it would just be some story about what Travis had done to him that day. And that kept me going through the cold winter months.
Hi everyone, my name is Rosie, and I also knew nothing about the video games before watching this film, and I am addicted to everything from the beautiful characters to seeing their evolution and this amazing story behind it. This may be very premature, but you have to tell me something about the next one. You have to, something.
Give us $1 billion.
Okay,
you don't make films this big and not hope that you're going to get the chance to make, you know, maybe one or two more. I know, you know, Chris Metzen, who works at Blizzard, and myself have talked about, if we had the chance to make a trilogy, what would the story be? And what we set up in this film, I think, you know, I don't think I'm spoiling anything by saying the orcs had a home, they've lost their home. Durotan, who's chieftain of the Frostwolves, has tried to bring his people somewhere to give them a new home. At the end of this movie, they don't quite have that new home yet. I would hope by the end of the trilogy, we know where the orcs are going to live.
Thank you. Other question over there?
I guess this is for Rob, because you seem to be the biggest Warcraft fan on the panel. Are you aware that today is Leroy Jenkins Day?
And I was not.
Can you explain to your colleagues what that means?
Yeah. That's a day? That's fantastic.
Should I tell that he's in? Like, maybe, I don't know if he does or not, but maybe Leroy Jenkins makes an appearance in the movie. Now, Leroy, this is funny, we were talking about this just a little bit earlier, because when you play the game, you know, these figures become a part of your culture, and you wonder if they become a part of popular culture as well. And whether you've played the game or not, there's a fair chance you've heard of Leroy Jenkins. And it started off as a short fan-made video in Blackwing Lair, where there's a bunch of players all gathering around going, "Okay, guys, so we're going to rush in, and you're going to freeze this thing, and you're going to trap that, and we're going to go and do this." And then there's a guy just standing in the corner, and then he goes, "Fuck it, Leroy Jenkins!" and runs in and gets everybody killed. And Leroy Jenkins kind of became the vernacular for rushing in without planning and being a damn idiot.
Yeah. But being enthusiastic
but
about
being
it.
So enthusiastic, being so happy to be there that you're an idiot. Which is pretty much me for the whole thing. I guess I'm kind of Leroy
so
Jenkins.
So in a sense you are in the movie, but
yeah, I guess I am.
Spencer Foster with Animation World Network. I'm a huge gamer, but not so much into the Warcraft. But I appreciated the confidence that Warcraft had in it. Like, it didn't pander to the audience. It created the world that Blizzard had created years and years ago. So I was just curious, like, what were the conversations that Blizzard had with you or with the producers to make sure, because their bar for quality is so high up there. I mean, it's very kind of like it's their. They're very protective of their games
yeah.
and all that. so I'm just curious, like, what were the conversations that were had between you and them?
They have a legacy of, you know, these 20 years of games that they've made just in Warcraft alone, let alone Starcraft and Diablo. You know, they have been talking about making this movie for nearly 10 years. There were other directors attached before me. Sam Raimi was attached for a long period of time, and they just didn't move forward because it wasn't right. I was very fortunate that when I had the chance 3.5 years ago to get involved and come and pitch my approach to Blizzard, I think there was a pretty big sigh of relief that maybe someone who, as a fan, understood what it was that the game was, had come in and pitched something that was in parallel with the way they saw the film. So you're absolutely right. They don't let things go unless they feel they're right. They've cancelled entire projects before because they thought that they weren't ready or they weren't going in the right direction. You know, we're fans. A lot of us are fans. A lot of us are new to Warcraft, but all of us wanted to make a great movie. And you know, fortunately, everyone came along with me, and I believe we achieved that.
I was immensely grateful that, in fact, they didn't go ahead with the previous version, because it would have been very easy to cash in on this game at the height of its popularity 5 or 6 years ago and just rush out a movie that would have, you know, like many studios have done before with computer game crossovers, you know, to cash in on what is a popular product at the time. But they waited because they cared about their product, and they waited until they had the right story and the right director, and myself being the huge fan of the product that I am, I'm incredibly grateful that they waited for Duncan and they waited for the script, because only because of that are we going to break the duck of being the first good computer game crossover, and only because of that are we going to get the film that we have been waiting for.
And that note, Duncan, I want to thank you also for making a film that people like me, that don't know the game that well, loved. But thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Congratulations. And I think we have to say goodbye. I know we've been continue for a long time, but thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.